from the start. I don't wanna find you anymore. So take this rebel heart and make it yours. Father, I no longer wanna run. You've broken my resistance with your love. Drowned it underneath the crimson spit.
I go over to Facebook. But when I go over to Facebook. But when I go.
Bend this rebel heart into your will. I give it over to you. I give it over.
Now y'all can see me. Okay. It took a long time for Facebook to even pull up to show that you guys could see me. But I'm here. Trying to get people time to get back on. You know, I set up early every time I come on here. Like, literally, I set up early just to make sure that everything is working on my end. It was showing that everything was working. It's just some things are just beyond my control, and I'm okay with that. There's nothing perfect, so I'm not trying to. I want things to be right, of course. But just some things are just beyond my control. But I'm happy to be here and welcome to Eve's Talk, where we're all purpose and essentially valuable for the kingdom of God. I do have some announcement. I want to announce that this is Autism Acceptance Month. Autism World Acceptance Month. Autism is very near to me for many reasons. I have family members that are autistic. I know children that are autistic. This is also National Child Abuse Prevention Month. There are kids still being abused, being neglected, being sexually assaulted. We want to acknowledge that and hopefully bring some prevention and some awareness to that. This is also National Council Awareness Month. You know, I am an advocate for counseling, especially amongst Black families, Black culture in general, because we haven't really fully adapted to counseling, but we need it. This is also Esophageal Cancer Awareness Month. Cancer in general is near to me as well. I don't know anyone that have esophageal cancer, but we just still want to be aware of these things. And it's also Alcohol Awareness Month. That's also near and dear. Alcohol and drugs were some of the trauma that I experienced growing up. And so we want to be aware of those type of things. Just know that those are things that we're want to make aware of and acknowledge that it exists. It affect people's lives. And we want to do better by not being involved in certain things that we have control of. And so today I won't be before you long. I'm excited about this topic. I'm really passionate about this topic, turning away of your heart. And this is coming from just the world, the condition of the world, the condition of the people, and the condition of the church. We expect the world to be what the world is. The world does what the world does. But there's an expectation that should be here for us as believers. And so I want to talk about the turning away of the heart. I believe we're living in a time and a day where people are being deceived daily. They being deceived by every sound and doctrine that their flesh or their will is in agreement with. I know that there's a great falling away of the hearts of the people, not just the mind, but the heart. Some things stay in our mind, but it never travels to our heart. But now I just see just things just like literally in our hearts. And I want to talk about that on today. I want to talk about, that I don't believe that people realize that your connection to someone or something can lead you away from your faith. There's a lot of people being led away by their faith for many reasons. There are so many reasons. When I was talking to God about all the different reasons, it was so many reasons that we won't even get to talk about them all today. But I want to make us aware of the things that lead us and turn our hearts away from God, that turns our faith away from God, that we leave our faith, that we leave the foundation of Jesus Christ for things that literally just lead us down this dark road. I've seen people leave the foundation of Jesus Christ to go to other religions, and when I see them, they're angry, they mean, they're like, I'm trying to figure out, like, if the Most High is that good, why are you so angry? Why are you attacking people? Because the God that I serve, the Bible that I read, talks about love and forgiveness and having patience and being slow to anger and being meek and being humble. And I just don't understand why you say you serve the Most High God and you're always angry and you're always attacking people and you don't even have a good spirit at all. And so I want us to make us aware that it's important for us to understand that what we're connected to, whether someone or something, can lead us away from our faith. It is valuable. I'm gonna use another word. It is vital. Not just valuable, it is vital for us to stay woke. We have to stay woke. We have to stay alert. When you read in Peter's, it talks about being alert, being aware of your surroundings, being aware of what's going on in the world. I'm not so much caught up in the things that are going to take place, like the wars and all that kind of stuff, the politics, than I am more so about our mindset and our hearts. Because even if those things take place, which they are, because the Bible says that they are, right? Our hearts and our mind has to be right. And so there is such a great falling away. I'm talking about amongst believers. And so we have a responsibility to guard our hearts because our eternal life depends on it. Not just physical, our eternal life depends on what you guarding yourself against. We must be intentional also. We have to be intentional about our pursuit of God and His truth. We have to. I want to make us aware too that we can be in one place of, we can be in a place of God in one season and depart from it in another season. So this ain't one of those things where, okay, we become Christians and we become, you know, we give our life to Christ and we settle. There are some things that we have to do to be settled. There's a connection that we have to do to be settled. There's a surrenderance that takes place for us to be settled. It is a being in agreement. When we say amen, we being in agreement with the word of God and what God says about our life. So don't get caught up in, yeah, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Yeah, but there's so much more that comes with that. And I don't think that we really teach that. We tell you, oh, this is going to be the best day of your life, which it is. But believe me, the enemy is coming. The schemes, the devices, all the trickery is coming after you because he don't want you to stay rooted. He don't want you to stay grounded. He don't want you to have a real relationship with God. And so he kind of get us in the early parts of our journey with God to deceive us, to come against us, to make us give up, to make us throw in the towel, for us to lose our faith. And so I want to talk about some things that I know for sure out of experience, and things that I have watched amongst people who lost their faith, who lost their footing in this life with Christ. When we choose God, it's important that we understand it. When we choose God, after that, there is no choice, right? So what I'm saying is that when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he's our Lord and our Savior. He become Lord. He become master. He become ruler of our life. There's no other choice outside of that. And I think that we get to a point that we don't understand what it means for him to be Lord. And these are the things that happens when we don't understand. These are the things that turns our heart away from him. So we have to clearly understand what it means for him to be Lord over our life. There's a surrenderance that takes place. When we accept Jesus Christ, when we confess out of our mouth and believe in our heart that Christ have died, he have hung on a cross for the remission of our sins, and he got up with all power in our hands so that we can have the right to the tree of life, we have to understand what that really means. That means that we have given up our Lord, our own personal lordship, over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We have given up our will. We have surrendered completely to Jesus Christ. And I don't think that they teach that. We have it so where we can do what we want to. We're still operating out of that. And God is saying, no. When we choose Jesus Christ, after that, there is no other choice. It's either him or nothing at all. And so I don't think that we get that. I don't think that we understand or comprehend, or we've been taught that after we accept, after we choose Jesus, there is no other choice. Meaning that we don't get to choose how he want us to live. We don't get to choose, you know, and don't get me wrong, because we understand that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He don't push himself on anybody. But to give you an option is to give you failure. There is no other option. In my mindset, when I'm dedicated to something, I'm gonna talk about divorce or marriage. I'm gonna put it in marriage. There is no choice of divorce. When Christ come back for his bride, there is no choice of divorce. And that's not the mindset that we have as Christians. That's why it's so many divorces. That's why so many divorces going on, because we think we really have a choice. He never intended us to have divorces. That was never his intention. Like, it's never his intention for us to die and go to hell. That was never it was never his will. And so I believe that we don't understand that. And because we don't understand that, when things happen, there's a turning away of our hearts. There are some things that I want to talk about, things that turn our hearts away from God's truth. The first thing that I want to talk about is the flesh. I want to talk about the flesh. James tells us that every man is tempted when he is drawn away in his own lust and enticed. We are drawn away in our own flesh. We are fleshy. We flesh. I'm killing my flesh this year. I realized that I acted out too much in my flesh last year. So during my time with God, with fasting and praying and asking God to reveal the things that I need to work on in my life, one of the things that he showed me was my flesh. Like, we never get to a point. Yeah, I'm a preacher. I know the word of God. Yes, I might be on a different level than some people, but we all have the same type of struggles. And God has said, much is given, much is required. I'm requiring you to die to your flesh. The things that we say, the things that we want. I had a conversation with somebody this week, and he was like, and I'm going to share this. He was like, yeah, I struggle with some things. And he went on to tell me why I struggle in the area of sex. And I know it's wrong. I feel bad afterwards. But I still have this undying desire to fulfill it, even though I'm convicted of it. And I begin to tell him, Lord, you have a flesh problem. You have a God problem. Because anytime you're willing to do what it is that your flesh love, your heart has begun to turn away from God, turn away from his truth, because our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so he had fulfilled the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Well, the pride came from when he was like, I don't think I'm gonna stop. It's not that he didn't think he could stop. He didn't want to stop. You know what I'm saying? And so we have to be careful, because our ideals and our flesh is the thing that turns our heart away from God. There's a turning away, and we got to get back on course. We got to get back in the will of God. We got to get to the point where we surrender to God. Nevertheless, not my will, not my will, but thy will be done. We have to get back to God. Our flesh is not our own will. We have to die to it daily. This ain't no one-time thing. We be walking up in the church like it's a one-time thing. And that's why we see what we see in the church. That's why we experience what we experience amongst believers, because we think it's a one-time thing, and it's not a one-time thing. And that thing, that sin, that fleshy way of life is turning your heart every day away from God. It's almost like being in the ocean. And when you look up, you have sailed away. You have drifted away. That's what our hearts does. Because now we love, our hearts love what our flesh love. Because that's what we do. What you feed the most is what becomes stronger. If you feed your flesh, then your flesh is going to be stronger. There's a turning away when we adapt to the world. And we have to be careful, because now Christian life and the world look the same. It's hard to identify them. It is, by looking at it. So now you got to be a fruit inspector. You got to inspect people fruit. You got to be a fruit inspector. Because if you don't, you're going to be caught up in the world. We have become fascinated. Like, it's wow, the world. Like, we become fascinated with the world and the things of the world, the fame, the glory, the power, the things, the money here and money there. And we don't even have character to go with it. We don't even have the right mindset to go with it. That's why you see people that have everything going for them, and they miserable, they suicide, they operate in depression. Because money and fame and prosperity among men and women does not equal peace and joy. The world, we have become fascinated with it and the things of it, because we think that blessing equals money, blessing equals things, blessing equals popularity, blessing means followers. And that's how I know a lot of us not reading our Bibles. Because anytime you read in the Bible, especially coming from the book of Matthew, he said, blessed are those that are poor in spirit. You bless when you deny yourself. You bless when you're humble. The Beatitudes in Matthew, not when you get things. Things does not equal you being blessed. And those type of things, we get caught up in them. And it's a turning away of our hearts towards God. That's what make us turn away, because then we don't need God to be our provider. We don't need him to be Jehovah Jireh. Why? Because we able to provide for ourselves. That's why other poor countries look at the United States and they talk about us, because we don't have a need for God. We do what we want, how we want, when we want, because we have the resources to do it. But the other people that are in poor countries, they don't have resources. So their source is only God, and they have to completely depend on God. But as believers, we should know better. We should know better. Even if I have a little change in the bank, I should know by being a believer, it's only because of God's goodness that he's allowed me to have something that I can fall back on. It's only because of his grace and his mercy that I am not consumed, his compassion failing not. As believers, we should know better. But we get caught up in how things look instead of how things really are. I'm reminded of a story in the book of Kings. We have to be careful that we're not in between two opinions. If you're familiar with the Bible, parts of the Bible Solomon wrote, and in the book of Kings, he became the king after his father David died. And the Bible says that he had this wisdom. He asked God for wisdom, and he had wisdom to do the things that he was supposed to do in the beginning. But that's why I told you can be in one place in one season in your life and you can depart in it. He was king. He was considered one of the wisest kings that ever lived. But the Bible told us that he began to turn away. His heart had begun to turn away from God because of who he was connected to. Solomon got caught up in these women. The Bible said that he had over 700, over 1,000 women, if you add them all. He had wives and princes and concubines. What could a man possibly do with over 1,000 women? There's nothing that he could do. So he just bringing on women after women after women. And then he didn't even get a godly woman. He got a woman who served a pagan god. And because he was connected to her, and because he was intimate with them. And intimacy don't mean just sex. It could be meaning anything. He was emotionally connected to them. His heart began to turn away from God. It was so bad that God says that you ain't nothing like your father. And I'm paraphrasing, but I get into the stories of the Bible. You ain't nothing like your father. Even David, when he was sinning, his heart never turned away from God. Don't you know that we commit sin? We are sinful people, but it doesn't necessarily mean that our heart has turned away from God. But Solomon did. Because he got deeper in that thing. We have to be careful who we are connected to. We have to be careful how long we stay in a situation. We have to be careful how long we stay in an unfruitful friendship, a booty call ship. We have to be careful, because the longer we stay, the more we connect with that thing, the more it's going to turn our hearts away from God. It's going to turn our hearts away from God. You got to be careful of the two opinions. I'm also reminded when Solomon, but I wanted to talk about Elijah. When he went up to I'm talking about the two opinions, when he went to the children of Israel and he asked them a question, how long are y'all going to be in between God and your pagan gods? Because at this time, Israel had fallen back and not serving God with their whole hearts, and start adapting to the pagan gods. And so there was a test that was done between the pagan gods and God himself. There was a firewood that was set up. And the Bible says that when their pagan God was defeated, they start cutting themselves. I come to serve somebody new today who's been operating in depression, somebody that's been cutting themselves. Could it be it's because you're connected to a pagan God and your heart has turned away from the true and living God? And because you saw the defeat of your pagan God, you're going to hurt yourself? We have to be careful what we connect with. Here's another good one. The thing that turn our way from God, turn our hearts away from God, is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Because we get so connected to what we're hurt about and what we don't forget, what we won't forgive about, that it becomes our idol. It become our doubt. Anything that you put in the place of God become an idol. You're committing adultery to God. Not, you can commit both on adultery and adultery. Both of them. Anything that you put in the place of God, anything that you're holding in the place where God should be, forgiveness is the place where God should be. Anything that you hold, now you start operating and start turning away because you believe what hurt you more is important than where God wants you to be. Offenses. Matthew 18:7 said, woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to the man by whom the offenses come. He says they gonna come. Get used to it. We got to get used to the thing that the enemy is gonna use to trap us, and we don't do that. We got to get used to the things that he's gonna use to get us off trail. To get us off of our submission and our surrenderance to God. He's coming. Offense is coming. God is using it an opportunity to grow you up. He's using it an opportunity for you to produce the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness. He's doing it so that you can grow and to show you where you really are and where he wants to take you. They're going to come. Offense is going to come. Unrepentant heart. We live in a time now that people don't even repent anymore. That's what's wrong with the world. That's what's wrong with us. We're unrepentant. Our hearts are not even, don't even have the heart to repent anymore. We need a conversion. First of all, we need a confession. We need to confess that we have fallen short of the glory of God, that we are sinful people, that we made some mistakes along the way, that we have the heart and the mindset to change because it was wrong and we see it the way God sees it. And we don't want to be that way no more. We have unrepentant heart because there is no conviction. How are you a believer and you're not convicted about the stuff that you do, the stuff that you say? When I was messing up and doing stuff on my own, I was crying because it's not what I wanted to do. I felt like Paul. I want to do the right thing, but I find myself doing the wrong thing. I realized I was a wretch undone, but I had a repentance heart. I kept going before God. God, I'm gonna get it right because I want to smell good in your presence. I don't want to stink to your nostrils, Lord God. When I enter in your presence, I want it to be a sweet aroma to you, Lord God. I want you to welcome me in because my heart had not become hard. I had a heart to want to change, but we don't do that. We have an unrepentant heart. Because we believe that we can do, we can say, we can act however we want to. There is no repercussions. It is. The fact that you're miserable is evident that you need to repent. What's in you come out of you. If you're joyous, if you're humble, if you're meek, if you're wise, you can tell what's living in you. The enemy. The Bible and Peter tells us that the enemy is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. These are the enemy is set
building us up. He has a, the Bible tells us to put on the full armor of God. Why? So that we won't fall in the schemes and the devices of the enemy, the wiles of the devil. He got so many trickeries that he using on us, and we don't even see it. We don't have no discernment. We don't see what's going on. We are deceived. We're connected to everything and everybody that say they God, which bring me to our scripture. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Our scripture coming from today is Second Timothy, and it reads in the third chapter, it reads this. It says, "This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come." We're living in perilous time. How do I know? Because the Bible for to tell us, "For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful." All that unthankful, you can't think. All you see is your issues and you unthankful. You don't have no gratitude. The fact that you was able to get up this morning, we all got issues. We all got problems. We have to get to the point. That's a turning away from our hearts when we can't even find anything to be grateful for. God, I'm not really pleased in this era, but I thank you that you woke me up this morning. I thank you that even today, as I woke up this morning, I woke up in new mercies. Unholiness, just doing everything and anything with anybody. I told this dude that I just talked to briefly, like, I'm not in the habit of collecting bodies. I'm not a funeral home. I'm not a morgue. Yes, I'm gonna keep my body holding. I'm gonna do what it takes. That means I'm gonna watch my ear gates. I'm gonna watch my eye gates. I'm watching what I'm listening to. I don't need nothing to connect to me. Why? Because I want to remain holy. The scripture says, without nature affection, truth breakers, false accusers, people that accuse people of anything. We live in a time where all you read on the internet is somebody accusing somebody of something, don't have no evidence. Making jokes about it. Perilous times where it's cute for you to accuse somebody of something that they didn't do just because a rumor is going out. Just because somebody got some type of propaganda, some type of scheme, some type of thing to make them look better, to make them look more popular, or make them feel like they got all the good news. That's what we're connecting to as believers. Connecting to somebody, accusing somebody. Don't you know that the Bible says that that Satan is to accuse another brother, and you're going to connect with that? No. Fears. Despisers of those that are good. You despise people that do what's right. You despise people that's trying to live holy. You despise people that's trying to get it right. Traitors, headed, high-minded, you above yourself. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I'm going to please myself. Self-gratification. It ain't just with masturbation, self-gratification, doing whatever it is that brings me some type of pleasure, making me feel good on the inside, talking about people. People get pleasure from that because it makes you feel good, being narcissistic, being gaslighting people. Rapists get pleasure from raping people or making them being fearful. You have to be careful what your pleasures are. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turning away. I'm sorry, because you know my bifocus at the bottom. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turning away. We look like the church. We sound like the church. But are we the church? How you live outside of the people that see you on Sunday? What you do in your private time? Because we think we can dress ourselves up. If we put on long sleeves and turtlenecks and long dresses. Because that's what we pay attention to. That's what we pay attention to. We're not paying attention to the fruit. We look the part. We look godly, but denying the power thereof. What that means is that I rather look like God, but I'm going to deny the power of God that really has the power to change who I am in the inside. I ain't willing to go that far. I'm not going to go to the part that he really want to change me for real. Because I just want it to look like it. I had somebody to apologize to me. And I asked them, well, okay, why are you apologizing? Oh, I don't know. Well, why are you apologizing if you know? God didn't tell me. So God going to tell you to apologize, but he not going to tell you why you need to apologize? Foolishness. So I told that person, I said, well, you know, if you don't know why you apologize, I don't think you should be apologizing. It just seemed to me as if you want things to look like God, but not necessarily be God. So here you go trying to gaslight me again. Here you go trying to manipulate me again. Listen, y'all got to get in this word. Everything that we need is tied up in the word of God. This word is good. I can read some more of Timothy. But that chapter 3, listen, it talks about everything. It goes on and says, for of this sort are they which creep into the houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sin, led away with their own diverse lust. Talking about women. I'm pretty sure we can talk about men. But I'm a woman, and I know it's a whole bunch of silly women doing all kinds of things. Led away, he called us silly women. When you get a chance, get in that word. Read 2 Timothy 3rd chapter. He's talking about the times that we're living in right now. The things that turn us away from God. The things that are turning us away, our understanding. We are the people. We don't have no understanding. All I get understanding. We don't get none. We don't get it from God. Our understanding we get from our pain. Our understanding we get from our trauma. Our understanding we get from people that don't know no better. We get our understanding from all the other resources except the source. And all I get an understanding. The things that we understand, and if we don't understand them properly, it turns us away from God. So when things come in our life like pain, loss, we don't understand it. We allow that pain to give us an understanding, and it leads us away. It leads our heart away from God. So then you got people like Kanye West, and I don't mean to bring his name, but I got to say this, because there are a lot of people that really thought that this man was on the right track. Remember earlier I told you it's one thing for you to confess him as Lord and as Savior and actually have him to be. There was a lot of people really hating on him, but there was a lot of people that were saying truth. So people that was concerned about his salvation, people that was concerned about his relationship with God, because when you know better, you can do better, right? So I know better. So Kanye West is now saying that he got a problem with Jesus. And he didn't write music about Jesus. He didn't confess him as Lord. And now he has turned his heart away from God because he didn't understand what God was doing in his life. Let me tell you something. God is not no sugar daddy. He don't do what you want him to do when he wants you to do it. Because you prayed about it don't mean that he's going to answer when you want him to answer. He says that he said he got a problem with God because he prayed to God and God didn't answer him. So now he don't serve Jesus no more. He's his own God. He pronounced that he's his own God. How you going to be your own God and you still ain't got the answer of your life? Whatever you were praying for God for, you still didn't get it. So if you're your own God, that means you can do your own thing. That means you can make your own way. That means that you can make that thing work for you. And because you was impatient and because you needed more work on your inside, your soul salvation, you turned your heart away from God. God is not Hollywood. Jesus is not Hollywood. You can't have what you want. He knows you. He knows what's in your heart. He knew that you were probably only pimping him out to get what you needed, but not to have a solid relationship with him. These are the things that are turning us away. And nobody's talking about it. is talking about why you're so far away from the shore, why you drifted off, because you allowed your own understanding of what you've gone through, what's all understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. I was talking to God this week, and I was praying about something, and immediately something happened. The first thing that happened to my physical body is that I started feeling anxious. So I had to command my body to not feel anxious, because I trust God. I'm not going to lead to my own understanding. I'm going to acknowledge who God is in my life, what he's always been, what he's going to forever be. He's not going to change because we're going through situation. He is God of yesterday, today, and forevermore. If he did it last week, he can do it again. He can do it today. The turning away of our understanding is so vital, because it messes with our minds, but it afflicts our hearts. Be careful what you connect with. I'm so glad that God has given me discernment. If you do not know if you have discernment today, pray that God would give you discernment. Ask God for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Why? Because it's needed in today's life. It is needed. I be knowing people who come up to me before I even get to know them. I go ahead and get to know them so they can confirm what God has already shown me. We have to be careful our understanding and love our unanswered prayers. We have to be careful. What is it that is turning you away from God on tonight? What is it that you don't understand? What is it that you're trying to do in your own will? What is it that you're trying to do in your own flesh? It is vital that we stay connected. It is vital that we stay connected to God. I don't care what this world is showing you. I don't care what it's telling you. If I be a woman of God, I'm going to tell you the truth. Listen, we got to stay connected to the vine. We got to stay connected to the vine and allow the gardener of the vine to cut and to clip and to purge us. Why? So that we can be fruitful, so we can continue to grow. Because we don't want our hearts turned away from God. We don't want to be reprobated. We don't want to be stuck in a situation. We don't want to be stuck in a chapter in our life that we should be gone away from. Some people are stuck in a moment of their lives. I know it was hard. I know it was difficult. I know that thing did something to you on the inside, but God has so much more for you. And if you allow him to lead you, he'll show you why you had to go through it. Show you that what he has for you is more great than what you experience. But don't let that thing turn your heart away. Don't let it turn your heart away today. It's not about me being I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm gonna teach the word of God that I live for. I yearn to read the word of God. I yearn to learn about God. Why? First, because I love it. I love God. I love what he shows me. Because I want my heart to be right. It's important that my heart be right towards God. Look at your life. See the things that are turning. Don't tell me that you ain't got nothing. Because that is pride. That's fulfilling the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. Don't tell me that you ain't got none. Because God ain't having me say this for no reason. There's some things that you're dealing with. There's some things that you're encountering. There's some things in your life that's turning your heart away. It's turning your heart away. Lean not to your own understanding. Elijah asked the people, how long y'all gonna go in between these two opinions? In other words, y'all got to make a choice. Today is a good day for us to make a choice, to choose this day whom we gonna serve. If we gonna serve the enemy, or we gonna serve God? Because it's only two things in the world, good and evil. God and the enemy. Ain't no in between. The turning away of our hearts. Y'all stop listening to everything that y'all see on Facebook. Stop listening to everything you see on YouTube. I know I'm on both of them. Stop listening to everything you see on Instagram. I'm on all of them. But you have to have the discernment. You have to have the discernment. You have to know what truth look like. I can hear something in my spirit right. I said, no, that's not the word of God. That's not what God said. Somebody discerned that wrong. Somebody interpreted that wrong. No, that ain't the fruit of God. We have to be so close to God, knowing what he will say and what he won't say, what he'll do, what he won't do. There was a difference between David and there was a difference between his son Solomon. When you read Ecclesiastic, he started talking about stuff that he learned the hard way. This man had connected himself with over 1,000 women, married to him. That's crazy. And he allowed what he was connected to turn his heart away. He started serving their gods and forgot about the God of his father. And then he started reading stuff. And the Bible says that I was reading and it only talked about him having one son. Solomon only has one son. And that, you know, that holds a lot of questions because I'd be asking questions when I read the Bible. God, why would he have one son? I ain't going to tell y'all what I really said. Like something not working down there? Did you make something stop working? Like he's shooting blanks or something? What happened? Like I want to know because I start asking questions because I be so into the word because I can literally just picture everything. It's like reading a story. So I was like, God, why is it that he had so many wives but only spoke of one son? And that son was corrupt. It was so bad that God divided the kingdom. He divided the Judah and Israel again because of their sinfulness. Listen, that's all I have tonight because I can go on. I'm really feeling this. I love this because I know that we need to get back to God. I know that we need to line our life up with God. I know that there are so many things that we are connected to and God said, unconnect yourself. Unconnect yourself. Stop listening to everything and everybody. Trust the source that God has given you, resource that God has given you, and start cutting off some of this stuff that you're listening to. Because when we're in pain and we feel a certain way about certain things and somebody come on and they experience the same thing, but they ain't received no deliverance, we're going to be in agreement with bondage. And that's why we say to things we say, and that's why we believe the things that we say. I had a guy tell me, start count me out because of my age. Matter of fact, this guy I was talking to this week was somebody that's trying to holler at me, and he reminded me why I'm still by myself. But he didn't try to find out, you know, who I was. He started just looking at the facts of who I was. I'm almost 50. I've been divorced. I have kids. And he started, like, literally, as my friend, dissing me. My friend Muffin said, oh, nah, friend, he was dissing you. He started dissing me because I wasn't in agreement with his flesh, the things that he wanted to do in his flesh. So he started dissing me and started telling me all these things that was against me. And because I'm who I am, I laughed it off because I know who I am. If God be for me, who can be and what can be against me? I don't care if I am almost 50. I don't look it. God is preserving me. You think I'm going to serve God and he not reward me to live a holy and righteous life before him? To live like I'm supposed to live as a Christian? He's not going to reward me. The Bible says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So a war was coming against me in his flesh because I wasn't in agreement with it. And started telling me all the things that was wrong with me that he didn't even know. He almost had that Kevin Samuels spirit on him. Some of the stuff that Kevin said I could agree with, but then some of that stuff was just raw wrong. It was raw and it was wrong. All because I wouldn't connect to what the world perspective of a woman my age is. A woman that want to keep herself pure. A woman that's not out here collecting bodies. Test driving the cars and tasting the milk before buying the cow. And I ain't doing none of that. I'm going to stay in the will of God. Because that's what's best for me. That's all I have tonight. I pray that you guys been blessed. I pray I said something to encourage you guys. I pray that you heard this and you're going to just keep this on the tablets of your heart. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to see this day. God, we surrender to you on tonight. We forsake our will for your will, Father. We lay at your feet, Lord God, and saying that there are so many things that we've been connected to that we are ashamed of, Lord God, that we know that we had no business connecting to those things or those people, Lord God. And Lord God, we ask that you will forgive us, Father, that you will forgive us for going in our own way, that you will forgive us for allowing ourselves to go into our own understanding. God, we ask that you will forgive us, Lord God, for our idols, those things and people that we have placed in the place of you, Father. We ask you, Lord God, that you will forgive us for the pagan gods that we choose to serve when we listen to certain things and when we connect with certain things. God, we ask for forgiveness on tonight, God. And we pray, Lord God, that our hearts that have turned away from you, Lord God, that we will be like the prodigal son coming, Lord God, and doing what it takes, even if we have to get in the mud of pigs, Lord God, and tell you that we can stay there until you accept us, Lord God. But we know that you're not that type of God. We know that you are forgiving God. We know, Lord God, that your love never fails, God. And we know that nothing can separate us from your love, that we can come to you, Lord God. And just like the good father that you are, just like the good shepherd you are, you're waiting on us, Lord God, to return unto you, Lord. And so, God, in our hearts and our minds, God, we turn back to you, Father. Hallelujah, Lord God. And we submit to you, Lord God. And we submit to your will for our life, God. For you know the plans that you think towards us, Lord God. They are good and not of evil, Lord God. To bring us to an expectant end, we pray, Lord God, that you begin to uproot, to pull down, to pull up everything that's like in our hearts that's not like you, God. And Lord God, we ask that you would plant your will, your word, and the things of God in our hearts, God, and write them on the tablets of our hearts. And so when we're in pain, those things in our heart can remind us that you're a good father. Those things in our heart, they can remind us that you'll never leave us, that you will never forsake us, that you have a plan for our life. Hallelujah, Lord God, that you're not like man. Hallelujah, Lord God, that you know what you're doing when it pertains to us, God. We pray in the name of Jesus, God, that we will forsake ourselves, that we won't fall into the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, that we won't be silly women and men, Lord God, but we're ready to surrender, Lord God, that we'll be discerning what this world is trying to teach us, that we will even be more discerning of the things of the world and the church, God, that we will put on the full armor of God, so that we might be able to stand in the evil days, God. We are in some evil days, and we need you. We cannot make it without you. We thank you, Lord God. We reclaim all backsliders. Hallelujah, Lord God. We understand that we cannot fall from grace, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for your grace today. Thank you for your love today. Thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. We pray, Lord God, that their backslider get to know you, Father, that they surrender to you, Lord God, that there's a conviction, that there's a conviction, and there's a conversion, Lord God. We pray that in the name of Jesus. We pray for the ones that don't know you at all, God. We pray according to Romans, Lord God, that they will confess with their mouth, that they will believe in their heart that Jesus died on the cross for the remission of their sins, that they might have the right to the tree of life. We pray that for them, Lord God. And we thank you and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and praise God. Thank you guys for being on here tonight. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your love. If this has been a blessing to you, share with someone that might have gotten off track. Share with someone that have lost their way. Share with someone that need this word, that you see that the enemy is pulling on them, trying to tug away, trying to pull their hearts away. Let's not be have a form of godliness and denying the power thereof, denying that Jesus really came to change us, denying the fact that he really want to do something new in us, denying the fact that he want to uproot and pull down and pull out the things that are not like him in our lives. And that's all I have tonight. I will tell you to be wise, have understanding, create your own
oldness and seek your own change. Listen, that's all I have tonight. Thank you, guys. Thank you for my family, my aunties, my cousins, my friends. Thank you guys for being on here tonight. I love you guys. One day I'm going to connect to Instagram. I've been trying it, but something is something that I'm missing. I can't wait to do that. That's all I have tonight. I'm not going to keep you guys. I've been on here too long. I got excited about the turning away of our hearts. I pray something has been said to encourage you, to keep you on this journey, this tedious journey. God won't fail us. He can't fail us. There's something that he's showing us. There's a glory to be revealed. That our presence serving cannot be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. God is going to reveal some things. Just keep going forward. Keep going, pushing towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. He has something better for you. You just got to believe that. In spite of all the trials, in spite of all the losses, all the pain, God has something for you. He's a keeper in every way. That's all I have tonight. I will see you guys next week, every first, second, and third Thursday. Thank you, guys. I love you, and good night.